Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Psalm 107, if you would turn there, please. The Word of God says, starting in verse 6, "Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. He led them forth by the straight and right way, that they might go to a city where they could establish their homes. Oh, that men would praise and confess to the Lord for His goodness and loving kindness, and His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with good. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and in irons. Because they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore He bowed down their hearts with hard labor. They stumbled and fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and broke apart the bonds that held them. Oh, that men would praise and confess to the Lord for His goodness and loving kindness and His wonderful works to the children of men. For He has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron apart. Some are fools made ill because of the way of their transgression and are afflicted because of their iniquities. They loathe every kind of food and they draw near to the gates of death. Then they cry to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivers them out of their distresses. He sends forth His word and heals them and rescues them from the pit and destruction." There are certain things in a believer's life that need to be present. One of them was the Word of God. Another of them is prayer. A believer must learn to pray if he is to be an effective believer. He must learn to pray. One of the things about people, and this is what happens, when they forsake God's Word, they get into certain bondages. What does it mean to forsake His Word? Does it mean they hate it? Does it mean they run away from it? No. It simply means they don't receive it. And they will go into certain bondages. And they'll get into certain trouble. But when they call on God, He delivers them. You see, what is it that protects me and what is it that delivers me is the fact that I call on God. As I call on Him, I am delivered. And that does not necessarily mean in times when I am perhaps in sin or in times that I am perhaps in trial. It means at all times I call on Him. Why? Because that is where my life intermingles with His life. When I have a prayer life with God. If a believer doesn't have a prayer life with God, that believer needs to develop one. It doesn't take a great deal. It doesn't take a lot of words. And it doesn't even take a lot of time. It simply is an acknowledgement of Him. And living in a God consciousness where I'm talking to Him all the day long, all throughout the day. And I'm almost having like a conversation with God and a fellowship with God as I go through my day. And I may mention to Him something here or something there. But I don't necessarily have to get on my knees formally for an hour to pray. It's good if I have that discipline, but if I don't, that's okay. I don't need that to have a prayer life per se. I simply have to be aware that He is there and speak to Him. I go through my day and I acknowledge Him. I get into a circumstance and I say, "God, help me here." I get into something that I don't know my way through and I say, "Holy Spirit, show me. What do I do?" Why? Because He brings comfort to my heart. You see, Jesus said when He would leave that He would send a comforter. How many believers don't have comfort? How many believers have no comfort? They don't have comfort because they are not fellowshipping with the Comforter. It's not hard to fellowship with the Comforter. It's really very simple. I simply receive from Him. I turn to Him. I talk to Him. When I have a complaint, I lay it to Him. I don't take my complaints to other people. I take my complaints to God. If somebody does something to me, or if I find myself in a difficult circumstance, I don't go talking to everybody about it. I go to God and I say, God, this is what happened to me. And He comforts me. Because He is my Comforter and He lives in me. You see, God is an ever-present help. He's an immediate help in any form of trouble that I am in. But I will not be the recipient of that help if I do not turn to Him to receive the help from Him. How often have I tried to figure things out on my own rather than asking the Holy Spirit to figure them out for me? Instead of resting, I get anxious or fearful or nervous or confused. Instead of simply trusting God, trusting the Spirit of God that He'll figure things out for me. I think young believers, and older believers too sometimes, this happens to guys who are approaching 40 years old. They say, I have not made anything of my life, and they get anxious. Instead of resting in the fact that their steps have been to that point, and from every point forward to every point behind them, they have been ordered by the Lord. Instead of resting in the fact that it's a finished work. Instead of resting in the fact that there is no weapon that can be formed against them that can prosper. They don't trust God so that the Holy Spirit can minister to that to their heart. And what happens to them? They start to faint. Do you know what it means to faint? To faint means that I get in a position in my soul where I won't turn to Him, where it's difficult for me because I've stopped trusting Him. It's not saying that I'll never fail. That's not fainting. It's not saying that I'll get everything right. But the Word of God says that men ought to pray and not to faint. That tells me that the opposite of fainting is prayer. And so if I have prayer in my life, I will not faint. And in the Bible where Jesus talks about that in Luke, He says, go to God and petition Him all the time, over and over, and keep petitioning Him until you get the desired result, until you get an answer from Him. Because He will answer you. Oh, you may not get what you expected, but you will get an answer. The believer who does not know how to go to God is a believer who's going to find a very difficult path in their life. Why? Because if I don't know how to go to God, I will not receive that comfort. How do I go to God? Is it that complicated? Is it that difficult? No, it is extraordinarily simple. I simply say, God, help me. And He helps me. I go boldly to the throne of grace and I find help in time of need because He helps me. That is prayer. And I won't faint because He'll sustain me. Every believer, everybody in this church, every believer needs to learn this. Every believer who calls themselves born again needs to learn this. I go to God. And He's an ever-present help in time of trouble. I don't worry about if I know my path in life. I got news for you. You don't. God talks to me on an as-needed basis. He will not necessarily tell me my future and the plans that He has for me. He may lead me in certain things, like He told me that I would be a pastor. But I don't worry about how I'll get there, and I don't worry about even whether I will get there. Why? Because I am a man and I do not know things. When I was preparing in Bible college and when I was preparing in secular college, I knew that I had a calling. I trusted God in my heart that I had a calling, but I did not know what it would be. And in the end, I did not know with absolute assurance that I would even be a pastor. Even though I knew that was the calling, why did I not know that? Because I'm a human being. I'm not in the end where I am in the beginning. I don't see the end. God does. I only see the beginning. Oh, I believed that I would be a pastor, but did I know it with certainty? No, because I had no sight yet. I had to respond in faith. Faith is not the same as sight. Faith is an assurance of things hoped for and a conviction of reality unseen. Yes, but it is not sight of things unseen. I had a conviction that God would bring me into my calling, and I believed strongly that it was to be a pastor. But if it wasn't, or if the time was such that maybe something happened in my life and it didn't come out that way, then I know that whatever reason God had for telling me that, He told me that for a purpose. You see, when God gave Abraham the promise, guess what? The promise hasn't even been fulfilled yet. He gave it to him over 4,000 years ago. And Abraham is still waiting for the full completion of the promise. Do you know why God says things to me? God says things to me for this one purpose. To steer me in the way that I should go. He told me I was in the hospital. I was 28 years old and I was in the hospital with blood poisoning. And God said, go pursue medical school. And I thought maybe I'm being subjective because I'm in the hospital. Maybe I'm being subjective because I'm being helped and I'm getting physical relief, and maybe this is subjectivity. But then He said to me in my heart again, go pursue medical school. You know what's the amazing thing to me? I knew, because prior to that I had been on a mission field, I knew that if I was not a missionary, I would pursue medical school. And you know what's even more amazing? I knew that if I had pursued medical school and medical school didn't work out, I'd be a teacher. I would sit sometimes and I would think about these things. And I said, I was in the Czech Republic, and I was thinking to myself, what if this doesn't work? What if I don't do this for a long time? Because I had only made a commitment for a year. What if I don't do this for a long time? What if I go back? What will I do then? And I would sit and honestly, I would like be honest and transparent in my own mind. I said, well, I'd go to medical school. And I said, what if that didn't work out? I said, well, then I'd be a teacher. All the time knowing that there was a gift and a calling from God to be a pastor. When I was pursuing medical school, it seemed very odd to me that my grades were high, my test scores were high, but the schools were not enamored with me. They were enamored with people who I thought were idiots. Honestly, I don't mean that in a bad way. They were idiots in a good way. Because they had no sympathy, no caring, no heart for people. And I thought, how can they choose these people to be doctors? But you know, the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. I don't worry about what is coming. I worry about what is. I get to know God now and He will bring me where He wants me tomorrow. But it's in the getting to know Him now that I enter into tomorrow's calling. I don't worry about whether I'll be a pastor. I don't worry about anything in my life. I don't worry about my future. I rest in Him today. How many young people in particular are very anxious about what will come there? What will I do for school? What will I do for a job? What will I do for a spouse? What will I do for a living? How will I get money? What's my career going to be? Or am I going to be a pastor, a missionary? Am I going to be a teacher, a Bible college student? What is it? And God says, don't worry about it. Pray and don't worry about it. Draw near to me and don't worry about it. You're going to be absolutely fine. Don't worry about it. God takes care of your life. The work is finished. Don't worry about it. Take no thought for tomorrow. Today's trouble is sufficient. Tomorrow's trouble you don't need today. I'm paraphrasing. Men need to pray and not to faint. If I'm constantly worried about tomorrow, I will faint today. Why? God has not given me a provision for tomorrow. Today. Tomorrow I will have a provision then. But my provisional is only good for today. And though I may have a vision, though God may put something on my heart, He may even show me something from time to time. I don't put my reliance and trust in the things that I think God has shown me. What if it goes differently? What if I am an Abraham and I have to wait and I do not get to see the fulfillment of my promises? What happens then if I'm constantly worried about tomorrow? God deals on an as-needed basis. Why in the world did I go to the Czech Republic as a missionary if I was only going to stay there a year? Because God needed to do something in the heart, perhaps. Or God needed to bring my thinking to a certain place. You see, trusting God is not just for the details of my life. Trusting God is for my life. All aspects. I don't worry about tomorrow. I trust God today. And how do I do it? I pray. I get built up in His Word and I pray. Because tomorrow's troubles are not here yet. Today's troubles are sufficient for today. I don't look for a purpose or a plan or whatever for tomorrow. I live with God today. Do you know why people get anxious about the future? Because they're not living today. God hasn't given us the future. God has given us today. How do you know the future will even come? Right? Abraham had a promise that his seed would be a great nation, but his future did not bring him there on earth. Moses had a promise that Israel would enter into the promised land, but he did not enter in with them. And when he asked God in Deuteronomy to allow him to enter into the promise, God said, "No, and stop asking me." I pray and I trust God. I pray and I trust God. I don't pray in doubt. What do I mean by that? I don't pray in doubt. You see, Exodus has an interesting experience that the Israelis had. Exodus 14 and verse 10. When Pharaoh drew near, the Israelites looked up, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. And the Israelites were exceedingly afraid and cried out to the Lord. And they said to Moses, "It is because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness. Why have you treated us this way and brought us out of Egypt? Why did you do it, Moses? Did we not tell you in Egypt, 'Let us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'?" They forgot that that man of God led them, but it was in the calling of God, and He took them out of the world. He took them out of their bondage. And then they had fear because they thought there was another problem. "For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness," Moses told the people. "Fear not, stand still. Be firm, confident, and undismayed," that's in the Amplified, "and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will work for you today. For the Egyptians you have seen today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace and remain at rest. The Lord said to Moses," now get this, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Why do you cry to me?'" Isn't that weird? Aren't we supposed to cry to Him? "Why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward." "God, what should I do? Well, you've got the call. You've got the definition already. But there's a Red Sea. Just go forward. What do I do in my life? Go forward. I don't fret, I don't fear, I go forward. I can only do that when I pray. But I don't pray at the time when I'm not supposed to. When I already have definition from God, I don't pray about it. When I have definition from God, I live in it. The Red Sea was nothing. It wasn't even an obstacle. It was a roadway. That's all it was. The Red Sea was nothing. Why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Lift up your rod, stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the Israelites shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And what does he say next? And I, behold, I will harden, make stubborn and strong the hearts of the Egyptians. And they shall go into the sea after them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and all his hosts, his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians shall know and realize that I am the Lord when I have gained honor and glory over Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen. You see, this is how you handle circumstances. You pray. You get definition from God, you relax, and you go forward. You don't get anxious. You don't get fretful. You don't get nervous. You don't worry about it. You pray, and you go forward. You get built up in His Word, so you have His definition. And when you have definition of from God, you simply go forward. You simply rest in it and you continue as the Lord has called you. How does a believer abide in the calling wherein they've been called? What happens when the circumstances get tough? Very simple. You go forward. You go, you got built up, you have definition, you simply go forward. There is nothing to fear, there's nothing to be anxious about, there's nothing to worry about. God did not bring you out into the wilderness to die there. God brought you out into the wilderness to glorify Himself, so that you would know Him and so that the world would know Him. I get to know God in the wilderness. I get to know His faithfulness in the wilderness. I don't do it through anxiety. I do it through the Word of God and prayer. That's how I deal with things. I don't get frustrated, anxious, nervous, wondering about tomorrow. I simply deal with today. God's job is tomorrow. My job is today. He has not given me tomorrow yet. Why am I worried about what He has not given me yet? And for that matter, I have no idea whether I will even receive a tomorrow. Probably I will, but there will be one day when I don't. And the same is true for you. So I don't worry about tomorrow, I deal with today. I rest, I trust, I relax, I don't get anxious, I don't get worried, I get built up in the Word of God, I receive His definition, I go forward, and I rest in the Lord, and I pray. It's very simple. This is how I don't faint. The person who's getting very anxious is the person who's starting to faint. So what do? I turn to the Lord and I pray. And the Lord gives me... Did you notice that God said to him, Moses, why are you asking me? He didn't say, Moses, I told you already, knock it off. And he said, why are you asking me? You already know, Moses. I already gave you the Word. Live in the Word, Moses. Trust in the Lord in all your ways. Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord in all your ways. And this is how I keep from fainting. And when I trust in Him and something comes and I'm scared, I turn to Him. I don't faint. I just turn to Him and He gives me assurance and He gives me peace and He gives me encouragement and He gives me confidence. And that's how I live as a believer. Amen.